So when we first picked this topic, this What's the Deal series, so I assumed the topics would be, as they have been, pretty esoteric. We spoke about the Mon, we spoke about Shadim, Gilgulim, last time we spoke about Golems. But there was a lot of pressure from males and females. Some of those males aren't here tonight, but there was pressure on both sides of our mechitza to do a shiur on Gematria. And I suppose I brought it upon myself, because those of you who know me know I like Gematria. And it's a fair question. What is the deal with Gematria? A lot of people question, you know, is Gematria a real thing? How does it work? Why does it work? Why do I care about Gematria? Even if the numbers line up, what does that really teach me? So we'll try. And I struggled with this year. It's definitely not in its final form, but we'll do our best to try to answer some of those questions. If there are questions that I don't get to, so ask. You could ask during the year, you could ask after the year. Either way is okay with me. Okay, but the goal, like we've said all along, is just to open our eyes up a little bit to the topic. Okay, this past Shabbos, we read Parshas Veschanan. And right off the bat, in Veschanan, we already have a very, very important and powerful remez. Chazal note in the Medrash, the Yachat Shemoni, other Midrashim, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 tefillos, hack of the moth, okay?
It's a Gilgal.
It's a Gilgal. 515 tefillos in order to get into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now, how did Chazal know that? What's the significance of that number? Why 515 specifically? Those of us who heard of Eli Marcus the other day, he showed us how it made sense, how over the course of time, from the point where Moshe started davening until the day that he passed away, there were exactly 515 Shmona Esrei's, a beautiful cheshbon from Rav Yonasan Eibschitz. But why 515? So it could be that Chazal picked up on the word of Veschanan, the word of Veschanan, which again is a lashon of tefillah. Right, that's Chanan's Gematria 515. So the word itself has somewhat of an indication of these 515 tefillos. So maybe that's how Chazal figured out that he must have davened 515 tefillos. A little chazar for some of us. 515 tefillos, okay. But if we try to understand it more deeply, what were Chazal picking up on? And again, 515 represents this awesome number that Moshe davened. So presumably this concept of 515, again, whatever it means in an objective sense, within the context of Tefillah, 515 will be a significant number. Do we find that to be so? So the Sfarim point out, the Sfarim HaKadoshim point out, that the word Tefillah itself, if spelled properly without a Yud, even though normally in Sfarim you'll find it spelled Male with a Yud, the proper spelling of Tefillah is without a Yud, Tav Pei Lamed Hei is Gematria 515. So not only is Veschanan an expression of tefillah, but the word tefillah itself, right, represented by Veschanan, it's the highest level of tefillah, so to speak. Okay, do we find other things related to tefillah that connect again to this magical number 515? When a man reaches the age of bar mitzvah, he starts to wear tefillin. That's one of the accessories, you could call it that, that he brings to tefillah. A tefillin shel yad, a tefillin shel rosh. Right? And by wearing these, he's able to enhance his tefillah. Women are on a higher level, perhaps they don't need such things, but men need all sorts of external accessories in order to get them tuned into tefillah. So the Sfarim point out that the gematria of Yad plus Rosh is also 515. Because again, I need to engage my Yad, I need to engage my Rosh in order to awaken that koach of tefillah. Who is the paradigmatic couple of tefillah? You look through Tanakh, a husband and a wife, again, a complete union, which is what husband and wife represent, coming together in beautiful tefillah. Of course, it's Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka were struggling to have children. They davened opposite one another. They davened for one another. Right? The Sfarim point out, Yitzchak plus Rivka is exactly Gematria, 515. So we're seeing this pattern by which things connected to the concept of tefillah are associated with this number 515. Again, in an objective sense, what does 515 mean? I'm not sure. But you see the things that when I come across some concept that's connected to 515, I have to ask myself, how is this connected to tefillah? Veschanan 515, tefillah 515, Yad Verosh 515, Yitzchak plus Rivka 515. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. If a person wants to have success in Torah, he also needs Derech Eretz. Different opinions of the Rishon and Achron and what Derech Eretz means in the context of that Mishnah. But based on the Gemara and Megillah and Davav, the Gemara tells us that if a person wants to remember their learning, they need to daven. They need to daven that their learning should go well. Right? So some explain that Derech Eretz in the context of that Mishnah, Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz means my Torah has to be coupled with what? With Tefillah. Sfarim HaKadoshim point out. Again, if you want the exact Mar Makomos on some of these things, I'll be happy to share them with you. Derech Eretz is Gematria 515. Because my Torah has to go with Derech Eretz, exactly 515. So again, just another example. And again, the list goes on and on. Tefillah, of course, is Makom Karban. The Karbanos that we bring are described in Parshas Pinchas, each Karban in its proper time. La'akriv li b'mo'ado, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring to me, offer to me, each b'mo'ado in its time. La'akriv li b'mo'ado is 515. So again, each of these connections to Tefillah, it's very magnificent, and it's hard for us to imagine that all of these gematrias are merely, you know, strung together by chance. But that brings us to our question, right? Meaning, if I have all these Ramazim and they line up very, very nicely and neatly, it's not off by one, it's not add the words, 515, Kipshuta. So the question is, why do I really care about this? What have I learned that I didn't know already? I know that I wear tefillin. I know Yitzchak Rivka David nicely. What do I gain by uncovering this reality that the numbers line up? What am I adding to my understanding of the Torah? And I think the answer is twofold. Right? First of all, we have to understand how the world was created, something we touched on last time. And we also need to try to explain how the Torah works. How was the world created? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu again was creating the world, what were the tools, what were the mechanisms by which He used to create the world? Or the elements of the Bria that Hashem used to create? So we said in the Golem Shir, the Gemara in Brachos in source number 1, picture HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His heavenly laboratory, and He's trying to create all of the different parts of the Bria. And how does Hashem do it? What elements does He use? He uses the letters of the Torah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Yodei Betzal Etzarif Osios Shenivro Ben Shemayim Va'aretz. Betzal knew how to combine the letters in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did when He created the world. And just like a scientist, when he's performing an experiment and mixing these different elements, each of them have a chemical value, so too each of the osios have a value. Aleph is 1, Bez is 2, Gimel is 3. And these values are significant. And when I combine them to create a certain koach, a certain energy, so I create certain parts of the Bria. So to the extent that I understand the scientific principle behind the letters, behind the names of the things that we encounter, and again, the name of anything, the Hebrew name of something is its essence. To the extent that I want to break down those letters and understand the numerical value of it, it's almost like a scientific experiment. There's something to be uncovered the same way we would do so in a laboratory. But I think there's a second aspect that we need to really think about. And this is somewhat of a general introduction to Pnimius HaTorah. It's something I feel very strongly about, something that I think a lot of people sometimes gloss over and don't pay attention to. And again, it's a general misunderstanding of what Torah is. Now, we look at Torah as a guidebook for life. Torah tells me what to do, what not to do. Right, the halachic system which guides us, our every move. And the truth is, and I'll show you a couple, just a few sources. Again, if you're interested, I could share more with you privately. But the sources clearly indicate to us that the Torah that we have is incomplete. The amount of Torah that we understand is really a drop in the larger picture of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Torah. And that which we apply to our lives is really a minority of what there is as far as, again, the broader picture of Torah. What there is as far as Torah's impact in the universe, in this world and beyond. Yes, halacha says a lulav has to be 4 tefachim ideally, and 3 tefachim b'di'evet. And if the leaves are split on top, and these details are all very important. But there's a pnimius behind it. There's something that goes way, way beyond this world. And if we get lost, so to speak, in the mashal, if we think the lulav is the be-all and end-all, again, the lulav has to be perfect because it's our connection to those higher worlds. But if I get lost in that mashal and I think that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me is a palm frond, right, then I've missed something very significant. The Maharal writes in the Tiferes Yisrael, in source number 2, in the 13th parak, Mikol makom advar mevuari. The Torah that we understand, as we know it, is built level upon level. It's built from this world, from the physical reality, again, of that lulav or shofar in your hand, all the way to the higher olamos, where those concepts of lulav and shofar continue to exist, as the Maharal. Sometimes Torah seems almost silly, childish. Does God, right? The classic question, does God really care if, you know, I do X, Y, or Z? Does God really care? Do I really destroy the universe by turning on a light on Shabbos or sending a text message? Is that really so destructive to the Bria? Why does God even care? Sometimes we look at these things and they seem to be pechusim ma'od in our eyes. Im kol zeh magiyim ad olam haba. But the reality is, these small details of our physical reality affect the highest worlds. Kacha Torah. Im sha'adam is asik b'dvarim shem gashmi. It's true. We're osik in gashmi things. They're ma mitzvos. And what I mean by that is ma'ara the mitzvos. Right? Your tefillin made out of an animal hide. Your shofar made out of also a piece of an animal. A lulav or an esrog, which is something simple that grows on a tree. Yigi al yedei zeh. Ela ma'ala al yona. Shu pnimiya satorah. But I use that again as a stepping stone to higher worlds, to a deeper, more pnimi understanding of the Torah. And through that I'm able to connect to what? To what we would call, we would refer to as the secrets of the Torah. And therefore the Maharal concludes very, very strong, and I should have bolded these last two lines so you can underline it yourself. The Maharal says, when a person is osek in Torah, he's not at all being involved in simple, childish matters. He's osek in the loftiest of things. Ki ein lecha lomer ki kasher yasuk b'dvarim gashmiyim. Chas v'shalom, he should say, when he's involved in physical things, k'mo nezek shor, ubor, he's learning Bava Kama, right? An ox gores a cow, a donkey falls in a pit, and he thinks, you know, okay, these are important things for life to function, but it's not necessarily anything above this world. Chas v'shalom for him to think, she'ein lo esek b'dvarim apnimiyim. God forbid he should mistakenly believe that he's not osik in very, very deep things. When you're working out the sugya of shor shenagach es hapara, an ox that gores a cow, that's a very, very significant thing in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world. Rav Chaim Vital in his Akdama to the Eitz Chaim seems to say that this Torah is really the ikar. The pnimius of Torah is really the ikar. He says the Torah as we know it is really the byproduct of a yurida that fell, right? A crashing, a breaking, so to speak, of the Torah that took place in the world with what? With Chayt Tzadas and Chayt Mei Meriva. These chataim, these magnificent, right, in a negative sense, chataim, were so impactful in the world that Torah just became so much lower. Chayt Eagle, these things dragged down the world. And then for the Torah that we have, again, is in its imperfected form. And our goal is to try to push it back up, to kind of elevate it above this world, to higher worlds. How sad it is then, when we get lost again in the mashal. As the Shlach HaKadosh writes in source number 3, and then I'll take your comment, Umishalo ra or chachmazu, the Shlach HaKadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris says, a person who's never tasted, never experienced the inner wisdom of the Torah, the inner light of the Torah, lo ra ma'oros miyamav. It's like a person who's literally living in the dark. You're missing much more than half the picture. Yeah, what would you like to say? Right, so mitzvot existed on a higher level. That's right. There's a beautiful mimer. I always come back to there's a mimer. I'll show it to you inside. It's worth seeing inside. A beautiful mimer from one of the Rosh Yeshiva who tells Yeshiva. Rav Eliyahu Meir Blach. Zatzal. A beautiful mimer where he describes what is this concept of Torah before there was. What was the concept? Again, if the Chazal tell us that the Torah existed 2,000 years before creation of the world, so what was the mitzvah of eating matzah before there was a Yisias Mitzrayim? What was the mitzvah of paraduma before there was a chereiga? Which Rashi says paraduma is the tikkun for chereiga. There was no chereiga yet. Does that impinge on our bechira? How does that work? What were Torah and mitzvos before we affected a certain reality? But again, that's what Rav Chaim Vital is saying. Because of our decisions and our choices, the Torah is filtered in, you know, in different ways, and it loses some of that ore. Exactly. Yeah, presumably. The difference between Luchos Rishonis and Luchos Shneios are very significant. There was a lot that was lost. A lot of inner Torah. Psal Lecha, the second Luchos, you have to etch it out. Right? It's not just the stones weren't etched by God the second time around. So every time we do a Chet, we drag down the universe. Again, not just the physical universe, but the spiritual universe as well. Now, obviously, there are degrees of how far we go with this concept, right? I mean, according to this, should I spend all day learning Kabbalah? Of course not. A person has to have the foundation upon which Torah is built. But there were those who took it pretty far. And again, these people were people who had a foundation. They had the bread and meat, so to speak, of Torah, right? Before they drank the wine of the inner wisdom of Torah. But the Ramchal, for example, has a letter from the year 1732. Moshe Chaim Lutzato, right, died at a very young age, best known for his Mesilas Yesharim, but he was a tremendous Kabbalist. The Ramchal, in a letter dated Yutes Adar, 1732, the year Tuf Tzadi Bet, writes, and it's based in part on a comment from the Arizal, in the Shara Mitzvot of this past week's Parsha, he says that one should spend 2 hours a day learning Nigla Be'iyun, Gemara, let's say, presumably that's what he means, studying Gemara, right, Torah Shabbal Peh Be'iyun, and the rest of the day should be spent on what? On Psukim, Tanakh, the word of God more direct, and again, the words of Abaye and Rava. You should spend time on halacha to know how to function, and the rest of the day should be spent on pinimiyos haTorah. That's how a person should spend his time. Because again, this is the ikur limud. This is really what Torah is supposed to be. This is what Torah is going to be in the future with the revelation of Mashiach. And even if for whatever reason we don't feel that it's appropriate, or at this stage of our life we're ready to be osik deeply in pnimius haTorah, again, whether that means Hasidus or Kabbalah or a combination of the two, right? At the very least, a person has to develop a respect for it. There are people, because they don't understand these things, and again, this is all by way of introduction to get back to Gematria, but when we don't understand something, sometimes we mock it. We belittle it. And that's a very great mistake. In the Chota Meshulash, in source number 4, Sefer written by one of the relatives of Chassam Sofer, he quotes from the Chassam Sofer, a very scary line. Ba'amar, he says about the Chassam Sofer, used to say, Mishakofer benigla al nistar. One who speaks out against Nistar, about the inner secrets of the Torah, benigle, openly, one who gets up and says, the Zohar, that's not for us. Well, maybe you're not ready to learn it yet, but to say it's not for us. So it's very much for us. What do you mean? This is the deepest Torah. Right? To say the Arizal is not for us, to say Rishon Bar Yochai, right? To say the Baal Shem Tov, these people are not for us. To say that a person who's kofer, who rejects the MS of Nigla ala Nistar, he openly rejects Nistar, kofer hu benistar ala Nigla. We have to be suspect that that person, in private, rejects that which is revealed. Right? If he rejects that which is concealed openly, we have to be concerned for the opposite. Maybe he's Mechal Shabbos in private. Right? Maybe he eats treif in private. Maybe he's Nichshol in all sorts of errors. A person who has the audacity to speak against the deepest Torah, we have to check him. Just like he's openly willing to speak out against Nistar, maybe he's privately willing to violate Nigla. And again, these are the words of the Chassam Sofer, not a small player by any stretch of the imagination. Parshas HaZinu is the Shira of the Torah. Kisvu Lachem as Hashira Azos, which of course we know is the mitzvah of writing the entirety of the Torah, as the Rambam describes, write the whole Torah that has this Shira within it. But the Shira of HaAzinu is really an all-encompassing parsha. In HaAzinu we come to many statements, which I guess are all-encompassing statements. One of those statements is an expression that the Pasuk says about Torah, Ki lo davar reik umikam. Torah is not an empty thing. Chas v'shalom that we should believe. As we come to the end of the Torah, Parshas HaZinu, don't, God forbid, convince yourself that Torah doesn't have what to offer. And again, that's true level upon level, layer upon layer. We accept the Torah in general. I think everyone in this room accepts the Torah in general. But there are areas of Torah that we're more skeptical of. And therefore, the Torah warns us, Ki lo davar reik umikam. There's no aspect of Torah that's empty. If it's an accepted part of our tradition, you need to try to understand how it works and why it works. And the Paneach Raza, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, again, a lesser known work, but it was written by a Rishon, Rav Yitzchak ben Rav Yehuda Levi Zatzal. He writes at the very beginning of his Sefer, in Parshas Bereishis, Uminayin legematrios min haTorah. How do you know? From where do we know that gematria is a significant thing? He says, it's a great line, Ki lo davar reik umikam, it is not an empty thing from you, is gematria, gematrios. Ki lo davar reik umikam, is gematria, gematrios. What's not an empty thing? What's something that people make fun of and think it's just child's play? And they belittle it? Gematrios. And yet the Torah warns us with the gematria itself. Ki lo davar reik umikam. Exactly, gematria 679. So again, this is all by way of introduction to give us an appreciation of pnimius haTorah. And I'll leave you with hopefully what we'll see as encouraging words of Rav Chaim Vital, again from his Akdama in Eitz Chaim in source number 6. Rav Chaim Vital writes, we'll just read a little bit of it. Hare mevur beferish, apedivrei atanayim. She'ein ha'adam yotze yedei chovaso legamrei be'isek ha'mikra v'amishna v'agadah v'talmud b'vad. A person cannot completely, obviously he's done a good job, if he knows Tanakh and he knows Shas and he knows Pope, that's very good. But he has not completely fulfilled his obligation as a person who's studying Torah, elu mechuyav lasak b'chol yecholto b'sisrei Torah. He has to go to the best of his ability to understand the deeper waters of Torah. Right? U'maisa merkava. Ki ein ha'na l'kodesh baruch hu mikol ma'shabar ba'olam. Chaim Vital says there's nothing that Hashem likes more than when the Jewish people try to understand the depths of His Torah, the secrets of His Torah. To understand Him in the deepest possible way. Hashem is exceedingly deep. And if we take His Torah and just study it superficially, we're missing out on Him. We're not understanding Him. Ki b'pashrei haTorah v'sifureha The pshat of Torah, the stories of the Torah, the halachas of the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, on a pshat level, you can't fully grasp Hashem. And he goes on to describe how the umas ha'olam, when they mock us for our mitzvahs, again, if our mitzvahs are only on a superficial level, then the umas ha'olam are right. Then we are a bunch of crazy people doing these very strange, almost chas v'shalom, have the pagan customs. But when we understand the depth of what stands behind holding a lulav in your hand, or blowing a shofar, or putting on tefillin, or keeping kosher, or now wearing klayim, when we understand the depths of these things, right? So then we justify their behavior, and we understand why they're so serious, why there's schar, why there's onesh, and we start to understand our Creator. So again, I think the bottom line these first few sources that we need to try to understand Torah deeply. It's a critical aspect of Torah study, and obviously one such way that we do so is gematria. If you look at Rashi at the beginning of the Torah in the second parak, Rashi in Parak Beis Pasuk Ches makes reference to a brisa of the 32 midos shatorah nidreshes bahem. Shloshim u'shtayim midos shatorah nidreshes bahem. So Rashi is not on the page in front of you. It was written by Rebbe Eliezer, the son of Rebbe Yossi Aglili. We're used to what? We're used to the Yud Gimel Midos shatorah nidreshes bahem. But there's another list, a list of 32 properties by which Torah can be expounded. What's number 29 on that list? Number 29 on the list is gematria. Gematria is one of the legitimate ways by which we darshan the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu was taken up to the heavens to receive the Torah, he goes up the mountain, he ascends to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we read in this week's Parsha, right? Parak Tes, Pasuk Tes. Moshe Rabbeinu says, 40 days and 40 nights I spent with the Ribono Shel Olam for you Jews to bring you the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught everything. But how was he taught everything? Was everything taught on a pshat level, on a revealed level? Says the Ramban, the less of an authority than the Ramban in his introduction to the Torah, source number 7. V'chol ha'nimsar l'Moshe Rabbeinu b'shari ha'bina. Hakol nichta b'Torah. Everything that Moshe was taught in all of its depth is found within the Torah. Now you can read through, right, the less than 6,000 psukim of the Torah, and you say to yourself, I don't see an endless amount of bina here. Says the Ramban, because you got to know how to read the Torah. You have to understand how it's been recorded before us. Beferish, some things are said openly. Osher amuza betevos, obigamatrios. Says the Ramban, something is found in the structure of the words. Sometimes it's in the gematria of the word, says the Ramban. Obeturas osio, sometimes it's the shape of the letters. There's big letters in the Torah, there's small letters in the Torah, there's backwards letters in the Torah, there's crowns in the Torah. All of these things are significant, says the Ramban. One of the ways by which we darshan the Torah and try to tap into that divine wisdom that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught is through what is a process called gematria. And Chazal knew that very well. You look through Shas Bavli, look through the Talmud Bavli, I found at least 26 examples of the Gemara using gematria. 26 gematria, Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's Hashem's name. Right? At least 26 examples. In Brachos, we have an example, it's coming up this week in Daf Yomi. Shabbos, Erev, Yoma, Megillah, much of Mesechus of Seder Moed has, three times in the third parak of Moed Katan, has references to gematrias and things that we learn from them. The Talmud Yerushalmi uses it less often, but the Talmud Bavli certainly doesn't shy away from it. The Medrash certainly doesn't shy away from it. Chazal understood that this is a legitimate way. And again, we could try to explore how do Chazal use gematria? Why do Chazal use gematria? What is added by explaining or expounding a halacha based on a gematria? But the bottom line is, Chazal didn't think it was a joke. They took gematria seriously. They weren't ashamed or afraid to use it. And again, many of the Rishonim follow suit in doing just the same thing. And by the way, you look through Chazal's gematria. I'll show you a couple gematrias at the end of this year that will blow your mind. Literally blow your mind. You won't be able to sleep tonight if you take these gematrias to heart. Right? Chazal were very content with very simple gematrias. You know, sometimes I like gematrias. I always tell my students gematrias. So sometimes, you know, a high school boy, a ninth grader will raise his hand and say, Rebbe, I came up with this gematria. And he gives me this, you know, silly little gematria. Right? It's not on par with the writings of the great Tzaddikim or the Rishonim. And I say, you know, it's a nice idea. Very good. It's a good effort. I see that you're trying to be osek in this type of chachma. The truth is, you look at Chazal's gematrias, without any disrespect to Chazal, they're not like so fancy. You know, like the Gemara in Chulin says in Kuf Lamed Tesam Beis, where is there a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah? Which is a very funny question. I need a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu. Every pasuk starts Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Leimu. That's like again and again and again. Why do I need a remez to Moshe? So the Gemara says in Chulin Kuf Lamed Tesam Beis, where is Moshe in the Torah? It says in Bereishis Parak Vav, Bishagam Hu Basar, Right? Hashem says, I'm tired of mankind because they're human and they make mistakes. Bishagam is Gematria Moshe. So what did Chazal do? They took the hay of Moshe, they split it into a bet and a gimel, Bishagam, Moshe. Okay, it's a nice Gematria. You know, I've seen fancier. I think even my own the ideas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put in my own head. I've come up with fancier ones. And yet Chazal are content with these very simple Gematrias. You know, Misach Tzemar Katan, Chayrem is Gematria Reish Mem Ches, because when a person is a Chayrem, all 248 limbs of his body are affected, and then eventually Hashem has Rachamim. Rachim is 248. All right, they're very nice, but they're fairly simplistic, and yet Chazal understood that there's a Chachma to it. They didn't shy away from it. They used these ideas to express concepts. Sometimes they even use these ideas to express halachas. And not to say that the halacha is solely built on the Gematria, but Chazal would use a Gematria to support a halacha. Look in source number 8. Torah describes in Naso the Nazir. Kol yimei neder nizro tar lo yavro al rosho ad melos hayamim asher yazir la Hashem kadosh yiyeh. The Nazir shall be holy gadel pera sa'ar rosho. He should grow his hair. How long is he a Nazir? Pasuk says, for that period of time, kol yimei neder nizro. Well, how long is the neder nizro? Let's say a Nazir says, stam, I'm a Nazir. He didn't specify a time. So how long is he a Nazir? So we know, we have a concept, Chazal have a concept, Stam Nazirus is 30 days. How did Chazal know that? The Gemara in Nazir says it's based on this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kadosh Yihiyeh. Yihiyeh is Gematria 30. So Stam Nazirus is 30 days. And the Gemara has several pages, several daphim of Gemara that are built on the concept of Stam Nazirus being 30 days. They take that concept very seriously. All built on what? All built on such a simplistic gematria. Says the Chafetz Chaim in his Chafetz Chaim al Torah Parshas Naso, source number 9. Look how great the Torah is. Look how powerful a single gematria is. Yiyeh begematria shloshim. V'stam nazir shloshim yom. Mizeh efshar liro, says the Chafetz Chaim. From here we can see. Ad kama gadol koach haTorah. Look how great Torah is. Look how much can be packed into a single simple remez. Yeah, equals 30. Says the Chafetz Chaim, she'afa gematria echa, for a single gematria, she'betorah she'mechsav, nerechu ha'idei chazal kama dapim v'mesechas nazir. Page after page of Mesechas Nazir built on one word, one little gematria of Torah she'mechtav. And again, it's our job, like the Ramban told us in his Akdama, to try and uncover some of these concepts, to see fundamental principles of the Torah that are built in part, again, if not in its entirety, but in part at least, is supported or built up by this, again, chachma known as gematria. One of those basic things, you ask a 3-year-old, tell me something about Torah. How many mitzvahs are in the Torah? What will he tell you? 613 mitzvahs. Very good. Where's the source for that? Maybe a 3-year-old can't answer that. Right? But there's not a lot of literature about this concept of 613. It's one drasha of one Tana at the end of, or maybe an Amor even, I'm not sure it would be Simla, I think it was a Tana, at the end of Maseches Makos, right? Where do we get this concept of 613? The Gemara tells us in Makos at the very end of the Masechta, Dorash Rabbi Simlai, Sheish Meos V'Shalosh Esrei Mitzvos Nemru Lo L'Moshe. 613 mitzvos were given to Moshe. Shalosh Meos V'Shishim V'Chameish Lav and Kamini Nemos Achama. 365 Lo Saseis corresponding to the days of the year. 248 mitzvos Sasei corresponding to the limbs of the body. Amar Rav Hamnuna, says Rav Hamnuna, how did he know this? My Krah, what's the source? This principle that's like the backbone of Judaism, 613 mitzvos, right? The Rambam's working it out in his Sefer Mitzvos, the Chinuch's working it out. Everyone's trying to figure out, what are these 613? Where does this number even come from? Says Rav Hamnuna, what's the source? Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha. Moshe commanded us in Torah. Torah's Gematria, 611. The first two, says the Gemara, Anochi v'lo yielecha mipi agvura shemanu. The first two we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe taught us 611. Two we heard from God, 613. So here again you have a fundamental principle of Yadus, of Yiddishkeit. The 613 mitzvot is built again, what? At least in part, on a Gematria. Now there is one Mishnah that we really need to address. Right? The Mishnah that describes, again, we're talking about Chazal's approach to Gematria. Chazal are not shy to use Gematria. They built up basic Jewish concepts from Gematria. But there's a Mishnah that some try to use to push down Gematria, and others use to build up Gematria. What's the Mishnah? The Mishnah at the end of the third parak of Pirkei Avos. In source number 11, the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Eliezer ben Chisma Omer, Kinen upischenida, hein hein gufe halachos. Kinen, Right? Maseches Kinim are the laws of what? Of karbanos associated with birds. A kain means what? A bird's nest. All sorts of mathematical principles. If you have a chatas and a olon, they get mixed. And you're not sure, and I have this whole group of birds. How do I know which one is the chatas? How do I know which one is the ola? Mathematical works or essays have been written on Maseches Kinim. It's a short Masechta, 15 Mishnayos, I believe, in all. 3 Prakim. But it's really, if you like math, that's a good Masechta to learn. If you like Torah and you like, you know, it's a good Torah Mada Masechta, I guess you could say. But Kinim, that's difficult stuff. Pischei Nida, the calculations of a woman's Nida cycle, that's Gufei Halachos. That's the real, you know, the real body of Torah, the real body of Halacha. To Kufos, to know a little bit of, you know, how the stars work, how the moons revolve, how the heavenly spheres operate. Gematrios, these things are useful, but they're parparos l'chachma. What does that mean, they're parparos l'chachma? So some will play it down. Some will say, the first part of the Mishnah is the real stuff, the real Halacha. These other things, gematria, a little understanding of the astronomy, right? That type of stuff is, you know, or astrology even. This stuff is, these ideas are secondary to Torah. They're parperas l'chachma. Just like the parperas described in the Mishnah Maseches Brachos is kind of the dessert or the added, you know, food item that complements the meal. So too, gematria adds something nice, but it's not really the ikker. It's not the main meal. There are others who look at this mission in an entirely different way. The Munkacha Rebbe, in his Divrei Torah, it's a volume, it's a sefer called Divrei Torah, has many sections in it. In the seventh section, the seventh edition, has different editions of his Divrei Torah. In Mahadura Zion, in Oz Samach Dala, he says, no, Gufei Halachos means what? That the revealed area of Torah, the Halachos, are like the guf. And the gematrios and the tekufos and these other more out of this world type of Torah, right, represent the neshama of Torah. It's not at all coming to belittle Torah. Again, Haru Chazal, what did Rabbi Lezman Chisma mean when he made this statement? Was he praising gematria? Was he belittling gematria, giving it a secondary status? I'm not really sure. Again, yesh for yesh, there are different ways to interpret it. Many Rishonim followed Chazal's lead, like I said, and were quick to expound the gematrios. There were some Rishonim, one Rishon perhaps in particular, who was very not fond, let's say, of gematria. Seems to almost outright mock gematria, and that's the Ibn Ezra. Right? The Ibn Ezra, obviously one of the great Rishonim, someone we have to revere and be careful how we speak about him. But at the same time, he was very quick to discredit this. The Maharal, in his Drash al Torah, that's printed in his writings, usually in the back of the Be'er Agola, the Maharal was very quick to defend Chazal's use of gematria against Ibn Ezra's remarks, which again have a certain mocking tone. Right? Ibn Ezra's words are often very cryptic. It's not always so pashut to understand what he's even trying to say, even when you have the text in front of you. But here's how the Ibn Ezra, from what I've seen and explained, this is, again, I'll give you how I understand these words. It could be you can read it differently. I'm aware of that. I'm open to the possibility of reading Ibn Ezra a little bit differently. This is how I've seen it explained. In Bereishis Perek Yudalit, Avram goes to fight for his relative. Vayishma Avram ki nishba achim. Avram hears that Lot has been captured. Avram takes 318 men with him. We know Rashi's drasha. 318 is gematria Eliezer. He took Eliezer with him. Comes along the Ibn Ezra, and he's not overly fond of this style of interpretation. V'cheshbon ha'osios Eliezer derech drash. He says that's what we call drash, and again he's using that almost as a derogatory term. Ki ein akasa medaber b'gematria. Because it's not the way of the Torah to speak in gematria. The Ramban told us earlier, the Torah has many layers of interpretation that can only be revealed to us through gematria. But Ibn Ezra says, that's not the way God communicates. He felt that this was something that, again, we made up, maybe for good drash, for a nice drush on a Shabbos morning, but it's not emes de Torah. Why? Because when we start playing with these things, you can do whatever you want with it, basically, is what he's saying here. Tov, Ra. Now, something the Ibn Ezra perhaps didn't understand, and again, I'm being very careful with the way that I say that, right? But something that, again, as later times we have different revelations within Torah, we understand things differently. One of the critiques of gematria is sometimes you have a kind of, even Chazal asked this question in one place. Esav, for example, is gematria Shalom. So Chazal, in one of the Mesechtos Ketanos, Mesechtos Kala, I think, or maybe the Kala Rabasi, one of the minor tractates, Mesechtos Ketanos, they ask that question, how can Esav be Gematria Shalom? Those are polar opposites. Esav, Achar B'chateche, he's a murderer. What do you mean Shalom equals Esav? Chazal asked that question. Now if Moshe Tzvi Weinberg was asked that question, I'll tell you what I would say. I would answer, based on a pasuk in Kohelis, in the 7th parak, that says, V'gamezelu mazel selokim. Right, which is Newton's principle, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. So keneged, this concept of shalom, which is peace, right, you have the opposite kalach in someone like an Esav. Chazal say differently. Chazal say, if Esav's name didn't equal shalom, can you imagine how much worse he would be? That's Chazal's answer to the question. He's such a murderer, even with shalom built into his very essence. Can you imagine how much worse he would be? Okay. Again, there's different ways to interpret it. But Ibn Ezra is often critical because he says, again, you can play with it. You can have something. You'll show me that this, right? You'll show me that tefillah equals Veschan equals Yad and Rosh equals Yitzchak and Rivka, all equaling the same thing. I'll find the 515 that says the exact opposite. So I would say to that, yeah, it's the exact opposite, because again, that's the kolach haminagid, that's the negative energy response to that positive, you know, idea. But again, Ibn Ezra said, this is a game, you can do whatever you want with it. You can basically create anything you want once you start playing around with gematria. Again, in his introduction to the Torah, the Ibn Ezra seems to mock Remez in general, this world of Jerash. He's not impressed by it. Ibn Ezra comes back to Pshat, he says Pshat's where it's at, so to speak. Pshat is the ikar way to interpret the Torah. Ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. We have to strive to understand the Torah in its most simplistic and most rational, realistic fashion. And he writes poetically, again, we'll just read two lines in source 14. Gam yesh drashu tov l'acher. There's a type of drash that's good for others, not for me. I'm not into it, Ibn Ezra says. I think that's what he means. V'adrich b'derach tfuna sana'arim. It's cute things to tell a kid, you know, on a Friday afternoon to go home and say at the Shabbos table. But it's not emes to Ketor. You give a kid a gematria. That's silly stuff. Ki yesh ov she'enenu roa biyom ha'negos, uvelayla roa b'nei she'enav kos. Right? There's a bird that can only see at night, but it can't see by day, right? Certain creatures have the ability to see in the dark. So he's saying there's some types of people who only want to see this, what he's calling a darker Torah, when in reality, this is really a brighter Torah. And this is the Pnimius of Torah. And he says, like, for example, the drush of Chazal. He's mocking Chazal. And it sounds like he's mocking Chazal, at least. Kidrasha olam nivra bebeiz. Why does the Torah start with beiz? Because beiz is the lashon of bracha. So Ibn Ezra gets so annoyed with this that he puts together a whole list of words in Tanakh that start with beis and mean horrible things. It means destruction, it means a wasteland. Right, look at the psukim these things. Let's just read one line, the third line. V'imadavar kacha. Oh yeah, beis is so good. How do you explain Yeshaya Perach of Dalet? Hine Hashem bokeka aretz. Hashem is going to lay the land desolate, right? V'ashisehu bata. Hashem is going to make the world a wasteland. So beis is a bracha. Beis is bracha. What about all these other words of beis? This is silly stuff, says the Ibn Ezra. What do we have to strive to do, as he says in the last few words of source 14, a mikra yotzei midei pshuta. That's how we have to interpret the Torah. Enough with the gematrias, enough with the ramazim, enough with the drash, let's get to the real stuff. Later in Sefer Shemos, the beginning of Sefer Shemos, also, he says, and again at the end of line 15, chalila shiadaber anavi b'gematria number mizos, chas v'shalom, to try to think that this is the way that the Torah speaks to us. Again, you'll read the paragraph. He's making reference to a gematria that some said is a reference to the founder of Islam, Yishmael's right, leader, Muhammad. Ma'od is gematria Muhammad. And the Torah doesn't talk in these types of things. And again, maybe that gematria is not an emistic gematria. But again, going back to the Ramban, going back to the Rishonim, many other Rishonim, going back to Chazal, it certainly is an approach that we should feel comfortable with. I'll just point out, there is an Ibn Ezra in Zechariah where he uses gematria. In the fourth paragraph, so even Ibn Ezra could be, over time he came around to the idea, or maybe even he believed on some level there is something to offer. But again, many people who are anti-gematria will wave the flag of Ibn Ezra, one of the great Rishonim, and say, gematria is not for me. So what I like to point out, and I think we need to remember, is that Ibn Ezra, I think, from my understanding of the sugya, and you'll tell me if you feel otherwise, I feel he's a minority opinion. The Chazal and the Rishonim and so many others felt that certainly Bizman Azer, the great Hasidic masters and the tzaddikim of our times, used gematria. It's a legitimate method of drash. And again, therefore we shouldn't be scornful of it. How do you look at someone like the Ibn Ezra? Do we say he's a heretic? Because he's rejecting one of the pathways by which we can explain the Torah? So the Ramak of Moshe Cordovero in the Pardes Rimonim, one of the great Mikubalim, says that you can't say that someone who rejects Pnimius HaTorah, who lived prior to the revelation of the Zohar, is a kofar. He didn't know from these things. Ibn Ezra didn't have a Kabbalistic tradition. The Ramban, for whatever reason, did. But Ibn Ezra didn't, and the Rambam didn't, and many people didn't. And you can't say, right, that these people are perverting Torah. They just didn't know from this type of Torah. And therefore, we should be more understanding of their mistakes, if you will, in explaining the Torah. Certainly, Bezman HaZeh, though, it's a different story. We have seen these revelations. Torah has advanced as time has gone on. Again, the Ramban has a parish that's full of Kabbalah. He's not afraid of the concepts of Gematria. Rashi's not afraid of Gematria. And therefore, we have to try to appreciate and see it as a legitimate method of drash. Ibn Ezra implied, yeah.
It does make a fair point, though, right? Because you really can create anything you want.
Right. So the question is, is there something? Do we have a concept of an illegitimate gematria?
Who's to say?
What the? Okay, good. So that's sort of what we're heading to right now. Good. Right. Ibn Ezra's question. This is hefker. You can do whatever you want. You can say good. You can say bad. You can say you can lie. You can make narishkeit out of it. It can get very ridiculous. So how do you know if a gematria is emes? So I think the answer is a statement from Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his parish on Pirkei Avos. He says gematria has to be built on tradition. We have a concept in Gemara. You can't make up a Gezeira Shava. You can't say, it says the word, Rishon here and Rishon there, and therefore we can make a Gezeira Shava. Now Chazal do that, but they do so based on a tradition. If you don't have a tradition of linking a series of words, you don't have a right to do so. The same thing is true for Gematria. If we have a concept that's already established in another way, and I want to bolster, again, build up that concept based on a gematria, that's legitimate. But to create a concept, to offer a total novel and new approach to something based on gematria, is very much suspect. In the Lechem Shemayim commentary, Pirkei Avos, source 16, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, Klolo shel davar, gematrios v'gzeros shavos, ein adam dano san me'atzma. You can make up your own gematrios. Now again, you can make up your own gematrios, but it has to be built on a concept that already existed. Amenas l'chadesh divei chachamim, u'mesoros avoseinu akadmonim. In order to offer something totally new to our mesorah, we can't do that. Ba'ay akabal amitim, Rakim Lakayim Divir Kham Musora Savosenu. What we can use it for is to what? Is to further Lakayim, to further establish that which is already in existence. Hein Zev Zev Mutter Vyashar Kocho Schar Har Beito. And if I bring a gematria to advance a concept, that certainly has its place, and it's a very appropriate and good thing for one to do. Now again, on this question of gematria just being hefker, there are two issues that people have with gematria in general. I want to address them, and again, this year is not by any means all-encompassing, but two issues I know when it comes to gematria that people don't like. Two techniques that we use in gematria that sometimes people say, you're cheating. Right? You're cheating, you're distorting the words. One is, if I find a word that's spelled a particular way in the Torah, either male or chaser, with the vav, with the yud, right, and I do a gematria the opposite. If it's spelled chaser, let's say, it's spelled without the vav, and I put in the vav, and I make a gematria out of it. So people say, well, that's not how it's spelled in the Torah. The Torah tells us how to spell this word properly, and you're taking it and you're expanding, you're spelling it the way that it might be spelled in a modern book. You have to spell it the way it's spelled in the Torah. That's one complaint that I think you often hear. A second complaint, which perhaps you even hear more often than even the first one, is the concept of kola, right? Off by one. Oh, by one. What is that? Close enough? Is that a legitimate, again, method of gematria? Do we have a basis for such things? So let's start again, first things first, second things second. Right, male versus chaser. How do the early authorities, how do our early Rishonim, how do the Pesukim themselves seem to guide us or indicate when it comes to the concept of male and chaser? In Parshas Baaloscha, Moshe Rabbeinu is criticized for marrying an Isha Kushit. An Isha Kushit. And if you look in source 17, how is Kushit spelled in the Torah? Moshe is criticized, right? On the Kushit Asher Lakach, Ki Isha Kushit Lakach. You can see Kushit is spelled without a vav. Says Rashi, Kushit is Gematria Yefat Maya, 736. Now if you'll look carefully, you'll notice that Rashi did what? Rashi added the vav. And the Torah is not spelled male, it's spelled chaser, it's spelled without a vav. And yet Rashi, in cheshbening this gematria, spells kushis, gematria 736, yifas mareh, right? Rashi adds the vav. And apparently he wasn't bothered by it. Now again, I want before we try to understand the concept, let's just see how the greatest Torah scholars of all time used it. Rashi was not bothered by using a word male when in the Torah it's written chaser. I'll show you another example from the Balei Tosfos. At the end of Parshas Vayechi, Yosef's about to die. Vayomer Yosef el achiv, anochi meis, v'alokim pakod yifkod eschem. God is going to come and he's going to save you. V'ale eschem min ha'aretz hazos, you're going to get out of this land. Say the Balei Tosfos in source number 20. Pakod yifkod elokim. Perish, when is Hashem going to save you? Pakod. What's Pakod? Pakod is gematria 190. Pakod yechzer aborim in a galus. You're supposed to be in Mitzrayim 400 years. You're going to get out Pakod years early. 190 years early. You're only going to be there for redu 210 years. But say the Balei Tosfos at the end, the last line, source 20. Hold on a second. Pakod in the pasuk, go back to 19, is spelled what? Without the vav. Pakod to equal 190 has to be spelled with the vav. Say the Balei Tosfos, I don't understand. Amnam kashuli. It's a good gematria. It seems to be a very nice remez to explain Galus Mitzrayim, but it's cheating. It's changing the pasuk. Venira di'i amrinan yesh eim lemikra naifa. If you say yesh eim lemikra, if we give validity to the way that the Torah is pronounced, not only the way it's spelled, and again, this is a big discussion in the Gemara and Sukkah and many other places, do we say yesh eim lemikra, yesh eim lemesores? Do we focus on the way that it's written, on the way that it's pronounced? Again, there's a combination, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The way that a word is pronounced is also significant, and therefore, again, even though in the Torah it's spelled one way, we can perhaps expound it and darshan it in gematria in a different way. Okay, I'll give you one other example. We know the Gemara tells the Menachos that the mitzvah tzitzis is keneged kol Torah kula, keneged kol mitzvahs kula. It's comparable to all the mitzvahs combined. Rashi says, how do you know that to be so? So Rashi tells us in source 22, the ode in the middle of the line, tzitzis begematria 600, tzitzis equals 600. You add the 5 knots and the 8 strings, 613. So tzitzis is compared to all the mitzvos. You wear your tzitzis and you remember all the mitzvos, like the pasuk says, Parshas Shlach, beautiful. Beautiful drash Rashi. Many others bring it as well. Comes along the Ramban and Parshas Shlach at the end of the Parshas says, Rashi, you're cheating. How is tzitzis spelled in the Torah? Tzitzis is spelled tzad yud, tav, gematria 600. Tzitzis is spelled with one yud. So you cheated us, Rashi. Where'd you pick up that extra yod, that extra 10? The Ramban in source 23 asks this question. So Tosfos, Maseches Menachos, gives us another answer. A different way to understand how you get the 613. And he saves Rashi. And again, there are others, it's based on a Medrash. There are others who bring this as well. He asks the same question as the Ramban. The Balei Tosfos asks in source 24, it's bolded, Umiyu, called Tzitzis Amurim B'Parsha Chaserim Yod. The word Tzitzis appears 3 times in the Parsha, each time it's spelled without that extra Yod. It equals 590 in Gematria, not 600. So how do you get 613? Rashi, a beautiful remez, but it seems to be lacking. V'yesh Lomar, She'yesh Pasuk V'haya Lachem Litzitzit. That Lamed picks up the extra 30. I was missing 10 by each of the times it mentions the word tzitzis, because tzitzis is spelled without the yud. That lamed picks up the extra 30 across the board, so now each tzitzis is now elevated to 600, and I can add my 613. But again, using the Balei Tosfos' approach, again from source 20, yesh eim lemikra, this question shouldn't bother us so much. The way that something is written in the Torah is not the only way to explain it. If it's male, I can explain it chaser. If it's chaser, I can explain it male. Rav Avadya Yosef makes this point in one of his svarim as well. Okay, what about the concept of being off by one? And with this, we'll get to the end of this year. Again, it's late. If anyone needs to go, feel free to go. Now, what about off by one? Do you have to be exact in gematria? You know, again, sometimes playing with the words, it can be very beneficial. The Satmar Rav was once approached by someone who wanted to make a donation to the Satmar institutions. And he said, I'd like to give a donation in the name of the person who is, you know, the head of the institution. So he said to the Satmar Rav, he said, your name is Yoel. Yoel is gematria 47. So I'm going to give whatever it was, $47. I don't know if he was a rich guy, maybe 47 times chai. So the Satmar Rebbe said back to him, he said, listen, you should just know, and I see you want to have like a personal relationship, a connection with me. He says, the people who I'm close with call me Yoilish. And I pick up the shin over there, a couple extra bucks. Right? So sometimes playing around with the words can be very useful. But again, when it comes to gematria, that doesn't sit with us so well. We want it to be very precise, very exact. So what exactly is this concept of off by one? So the truth is, it's hinted to in the Torah itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself left a remez in the Torah that off by one might be a legitimate concept. Again, it's a remez to say a remez, but it's an interesting idea. The Bnei Yisachar writes in Source 26, V'inei, im yos shechein hu regilus mekubalim b'choshem gemashtrus kasher nechzer achas me'acheshbon wasif an akola. We know that many mekubalim, when they do gemashtrus, says the Bnei Yisachar in his writings on Chodesh Sivan, they add one. Right? And where does this concept come from? Why am I allowed to add one? Says the Bnei Yisachar. V'unirmaz b'Torah. It's hinted to in the Torah itself. How so? Yaakov says that what? Ephraim u'Menashe k'Reuven v'Shimon yihyuli. When Yaakov is blessing the Shvatim, he says that Ephraim and Menashe are going to be just like Reuven and Shimon. On a pshat level, what's he saying? Ephraim and Menashe are each going to be their own shevet. Just like Reuven and Shimon are each their own shevet, Ephraim and Menashe, even though they both come from Yosef, will each be their own shevet. They'll each get their own nachla. They'll each have their own place in the degalim. But says the Bnei Yisachar, what's the gematria of Reuven and Shimon? 725. What's the gematria of Ephraim and Menashe? 726. Says Yaakov, you know, the Torah declares, Ephraim and Menashe, k'Reuven v'Shimon, yihyuli. 725 is just like 726. It can be off by one, and that's good enough. Right? A very interesting concept. Now in Halacha, this also has a lot of truth to it. The concept of being very close, but not exact, is when Yaakov, for example, again, we didn't have time to get to everything tonight. When Yaakov comes back and he meets up with Esau, and he has this famous line, "Lavan garti v'tariag mitzvos shamarti." I've lived with Lavan, I kept all 613 mitzvos. Really? That's funny, because in Lavan's house, you marry two sisters, which is against the Torah. So what do you mean, tariag mitzvos shamarti? How do you mean, tariag mitzvos shamarti? That has big ramifications, by the way. Because if we're going to say that Pru'er Avu is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, or not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, right? Might depend on, you know, for example, the mitzvah of Pru'er Avu. Does it apply every single day of the calendar year? Well, on Yom Kippur, one of the inuyim is that husband and wife can't be together. So on that night, there's no possibility to do the mitzvah of Pru'er Avu. And yet, we call the mitzvah of Pru'er Avu a mitzvah saseh that is not time-bound. Right? Even though there's a time that it is restricted. So apparently, we see that Halacha says, well, even if it's just one, if one night is like different, if one day is different, that's good enough. If Yaakov does 612 mitzvos, he can come to Esav and say, Taryag mitzvos shamarti. We see in many places, again, these are just a couple examples in the Torah, where if something's off by one, that's good enough. That has halachic ramifications for us. The Stipler Gaon wrote a wonderful kuntres called Birchas Peretz, Divrei Torah on the Parsha, and in the back there's a little section of these unbelievable gematrias. Amazing, amazing gematrias on the Parsha. You have to look at this. The Stipler Gaon's gematrias. And he writes in the Akdama, you know, these kind of just like pops into my head. I'm not sure how that's possible. He'll like take a Rashi and show you how exactly the words that Rashi says is exactly what the Pasuk says. And he just does it like countless times. It's mind-boggling. So the Stifler, in his introduction to this section, the Birchas Peretz in Source 27, writes, "Ulasher b'yoser mitkabel alev." People are more comfortable with perfect gematrias. The Stifler says people like it when it adds up exactly, without adding words, without adding letters. So therefore, as a general rule, I'm only going to write those gematrias that are mechuvanot, that are perfect. Says the Stifler. However, there's one concept that I will use, and that is the concept of off by one. V'ula, where it's bolded. K'shechaser rak echad, v'zen nikra ima kolel, lo nimnati melechosfo. But when it's off by one, that I'm not going to shy away from doing. Shechein matzati, I find already in Rishonim. The Shibulei Aleket, when he talks about the Haggadah Shel Pesach, he says, gematria look up dinal achas chaser yasser. We're not concerned with off by one, one more, one less. He quotes a rush. When we talk about counting the 50 days to Shavuos, right? Tisperu chamishim yom. How many days do we actually count? 49. Right? The Torah says give 40 lashes. How many lashes do we give? 39. So we've seen countless examples where the Torah is comfortable on some level with rounding up or rounding down. We do so when we count Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. We often round up according to many opinions. So again, this concept of off by one is a legitimate concept, and it shouldn't trouble us, maybe not as much as maybe we were troubled by it when we started tonight. And I'll end this section with source 28. Do we have a right as individuals to use this concept? Do we as individuals have a right to make gematrias that are off by one? Again, we've justified it in theory, but as individuals, if we're working out a gematria, we come with a Torah thought that's off by one. Should we feel comfortable with that? So that might depend. Rav Moshe Wolfson writes in Parshas Vayeshev in Source 28 in the Emunah Sitecha, "Umatzinu machlokas b'inyan tzirof hakola l'mispar gematrias." There's an important machlokas when it comes to this concept of off by one. The Imre Noam, by one of the great Hasidic masters, the Imre Noam, writes in Parsha Shlach on the pasuk "Kimispar asher tasu, kocha tasu la'echad kimisparam." Kasav she'inyan mashemitzarfim es hakola l'minyan gematria. This idea of adding one, hakavana shemitzarfim es Hashem yisbach. We add Hashem. Hashem is that extra one. Shu yichudo shalolam v'kol es hakol. Now, if God, if I'm adding, if being off by one means I'm evoking, you know, God's partnership in my Torah thought, that's not a small thing to do. For regular people, like the Stifler said, we should try to do gematrias that line up perfectly. But if a big tzaddik tells you a gematria, and it's off by one, and he wants to bring Hashem in as that extra piece, so to speak, to complete the minyan, right? Like in Mitzrayim, we were 69 people, we added Hashem to be number 70. Okay, for big tzaddikim, the Imre Noam says, it's appropriate. That's one way to look at it. But for regular people, it's inappropriate. But then there's another approach, he says, two lines from the end. Well, number safer tzvila tzaddik, but the Blushev Rebbe says just the opposite. Shekol echad yachol lasos came, everyone's allowed to do so. Valkopanim, hecha sheyesh sorach lahashvas achashvan letovas b'nei Yisrael. And therefore, if I need to be off by one in order to say a gematria, which will be insightful, which will be inspiring for my fellow Jews, one can call, so to speak, use Hashem's name to bring Hashem in as that extra one. So again, how do we use the kolel? Should we use kolel? Is it appropriate for us to use it? It's somewhat a matter of debate. I want to just conclude. I'll have 5 more minutes, if that's okay with everyone. Again, those who need to go can go. But the concept of gematria, one of the reasons that people do enjoy it is because sometimes it does strengthen our emunah. When you see an amazing gematria, you see how precise the words of the Torah are. It can be so enlightening. Rav Moshe Tzurio, who's a chashav rav in Eretz Yisrael, wrote many beautiful svarim. One sefer he wrote is a sefer called Otros HaMusar. And in there, under his section on Emunah, he talks about gematria. And he says, let me just show you a couple gematras that if you see this gematria, how could you not believe that the Torah is a divine book? What he basically does is he goes through the Dalad Misos Basin. My brother showed this to me many years ago. It's unbelievable. It's very kadash. I'll show you one piece inside, source 29. He goes through the Dalad Misos Basin, Skila, Sreifa, etc. And he shows that for Skila, for example, there are X number of Averos that get Skila. And he shows you if you add up all of the different averas by which you get skila, it equals gematria, the word skila, times that number of averas. Let me show you one example, just to make sense. I hope I'm speaking clearly. Look at source 29. Rav Tzuriel writes in his Otros HaMusar, "Yeshnam chai avonos shebeglalam adam mikapeach asesho mischayav." There are 18 averas that a person could be killed in what we would refer to as misa bidei shemayim. Misa bidei shemayim, he says, gematria 871. There are 18 averos that a person can get misa bidei shemayim. 871, misa bidei shemayim, times 18 is gematria 15,678. That seems like a pretty, random, wild number. Says Rav Tzuriel, open up a Rambam and write down the 18 things that you get misa bidei shemayim for. And he gives it to us. Zara ochel truma gedola. Anan kohen wheat truma gedola. Zara ochel trumas meiser. Zara ochel bikurim. Etc, etc, etc. You have it all in front of you. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside now. Add up those 18 things. And what will you get in gematria? Exactly 15,678. And he shows this by Skila, Srefa, Herek, Chanek. Each of the Arba Misos based in, add up the Averos, and you'll see that it equals that Avera, Misa Bidei Shemayim in this case, times 18, 15,678. Add up all, you have the numbers right in front of you, you'll take a look at it. How can you see something like that and not say that there's something beyond this world? There's a Rabbono Sholem, which is responsible for creating this text. There's no way these halachos emanating from our Torah We're put there by chance. It just simply can't be. And I want to share with you one other gematria that I think speaks to our times. Now, we live in the final gullus. What gullus do we find ourselves in? The gullus of Edom. Right? The gullus of Edom, Edom being the world of Esav. But we also know, according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that the final gullus, and again, you don't have to think too much to know this to be true in our world today, is partially gullus Yishmael. There's a merger between Edom and Yishmael, which makes a lot of sense. The world of Esav, the world of Yishmael. Esav being the psoles, so to speak, the negativity of Yitzchak. Yishmael, so to speak, being the negativity of Avraham. Right? Those things that we kind of have to pass through in order to bring the Gula Shlema. And each of them represents a different type of Yetzer Hara. Esav is the Yetzer Hara of Kas, is the Yetzer Hara of Gvura. Right? The Midah of Gvura, which is the Midah of Yitzchak, gone bad, turns into what Esav is, a murderer. It's Kas. It's destructive. Avram's Midah was Chesed. Avram as a child who takes that Midah of Chesed astray, a Yishmael. And what happens when Chesed goes astray? It becomes perverted as what? As Arayos. Like the Torah refers to in the 20th parak of Vayikra, calls Arayos Chesed. So we live in a world where there's these two negative forces in the world. There's the Yitzhar of Taiva, and there's the Yitzhar of Kas. Right? There's a spirit of war in the world, which we see very in a very real way today, those who call for the destruction of mankind, and you have a spirit of taiva, right? Where sexual immorality is certainly on the rise. These are the two klipos, so to speak, that we face today. And each of them is compared to an animal. Esav, we know, is compared to a shor. You picture the shor hamazik, the damaged, destructive, right, ox. And of course, Yishmael is compared to the chamor. Like it says in Yevamos, Am Hadoma Lechamor, Yishmael is compared to the chamor, chamor, milashon chomer, chumrius, physicality, right? Again, immorality that Yishmael represents. Now there's a third klipa, there's a third source of negativity that's connected to these two. And that is the caliph. Who's the caliph? Which nation is compared to the caliph? In Midrashic literature, Amalek. Amalek is compared to the caliph. Right? The three of them combined to spell Choshech, Choshech, darkness, Galus, Chamor, Shor, Kalev, Choshech, darkness. Right? And the Kalev, this spirit of Amalek, which is just this all-encompassing negativity, really emerges from within the world of Chamor and Shor. The Svarim point out, take the word Chamor, look at the inner letters of Chamor. Look at the inner essence of Chamor. What are the inner letters of Chamor? Mem and Vav. What's the inner letter of Shor? Vav. Mem Vav of Chamor plus Vav of Shor is Gematria 52, is Gematria Kelef. Amalek, again, this negativity of Amalek emerges from Chamor and Shor. That's one way to talk about these three klipos that the Svarim talk about at the end of days. There's another way to do it. And that is to take the word Nachash. Because the Nachash is the starting point of all negativity. And the word Nachash, according to the Megala Mukos, spells out Nun is for Nachash, Ches is for Chamor, and Shin is for Shor. Okay, Nachash, Chamor, Shor. Now where's Amalek in all of this? Amalek emerges from the Nachash. Try to stay with me. I know the hour is late. Amalek emerges from the Nachash. There's a pasuk that says, I believe it's in Yeshaya, Mishoresh Nachash, from the root of the Nachash, Yetzei Tsefa, emerges a viper. The Svarim point out, Tsefa, Tzadi Pei Ayin, is Gematria Amalek. Mishomash Nachash Yetzei Tsefa. So really we have these four klipos that we're really dealing with. We have Nachash, Shor, Chamor, and then an even worse Nachash, right, which is the Tsefa, this viper, which represents Amalek even more so than Nachash of a general sense. Yaakov Avinu gathers his children at the end of his life. Right? Yaakov Avinu representing Klal Yisrael. At the end of days, he gathers together his children. He wants to reveal to them what? Like Rashi says, he wants to tell them when Mashiach is coming. But Yaakov is very nervous. Yaakov is afraid that perhaps, that just like out of the world of Avraham emerged what? A Yishmael, which is Chamor. And just like out of the world of Yitzchak emerged an Esav, which is Shor. Maybe out of a Yaakov is going to emerge what? It's going to emerge Nachash. And he's nervous that his children are not worthy. All of a sudden, he can't recall the geula, and he panics. Maybe amongst my children there's a Nachash. Says the Gemara, Psachim Daf Nun Vav. What do the children of Yaakov say to their father to calm him down? What do they say? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Tata, you don't have anything to worry about. You don't have anything to worry about. We're not nichshol in these things. We're not going to succumb to Shur Chamor. We're not going to create certainly another Yetzirah called Nachash. Says the Sefer Mishnas Ha'itim. This is two lines in a very, very difficult Hasidic work, which was explained to me by an Adam Gadol. It says in Mishnas Ha'itim, Chamor plus Shor plus Nachash is Gematria 1118, which is Gematria Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The children of Yaakov say back to their father, we don't have this. We don't have Chamor, we don't have Shor, we don't have Nachash. What does Yaakov say back to them according to the Gemara? What do we say after Shema? Baruch Shem Kavod Machasol Yolam Ve'ed. We know this hope for Baruch Shem Kavod Machasol Yolam Ve'ed is the ultimate hope of the Jewish people. That's why we say it in a whisper right now. We're not able to say it openly because we're not worthy of it. On Yom Kippur we say it openly. But we're not there yet. We know that the angels are supposed to have six wings, right? Six kanafayim. But the Pesukim describe that at times the angels only have four wings. Baruch Shem Kavod Machasol Yolam Ve'ed are the six wings of an angel. But two of those wings are not complete now. Which ones? Kavod Malchuso. We daven, we beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu on each of the regalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bigale Kavod Malchuscha. Reveal Kavod Malchus. We don't have Kavod Malchus yet. We only have four of the wings. We can't openly say yet, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Oli Olam Va'ed. We're not able to say that yet. Yaakov Avinu looks at his children. He sees Shevet Dan amongst them. Lishuasra kivisi Hashem. He's hopeful that we can say Baruch Shem Kavod Machasol Yolam Ve'ed. The Svarim point out that Yishuasra kivisi Hashem is gematria. Baruch Shem Kavod Machasol Yolam Ve'ed. Yaakov says, let's do it. Let's go all the way. Let's finish the job. If you've told me already, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that you don't have Shor Chamor and Nachash, so let's go the rest of the way. What's the difference in gematria between Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Yolam Ve'ed? 1118, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Yolam Ve'ed, 1358. It's a difference of 240. What's 240? Amalek. Tzefa. That fourth and final klipa. Yaakov says, if you've got Nachash, and you've got Chamor, and you've got Shur, so why not throw in Tzefa? You say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yaakov says back to them, let's say Baruch Shem Kavod Machasol Yolam Ve'ed. Let's finish the job. Again, this is a line. This is one line in a very difficult Hasidic work called Mishnas Ha'itim. And again, when you see something like this, you understand how the Gullus works, you understand how Geula works, you understand how Gematria is so significant to all of that. So I'll just conclude this year with the final sources very, very quickly. We can't spend all our time on Gematria. The Chida writes very openly, and the Chida is someone who quotes a lot of Gematrias in Source 30. He says, V'davar pashut she'ein la'abid hazman. Don't waste your time working out gematria. You can sit there all day making up gematria. Don't spend all day working on gematria. Like the stipler Gaon said, if it pops into your head, then you have a right to reveal. Don't spend all your time working on Bible codes. That's not the avoda of a Jew. But at the same time, as we advance in the physical world, as there's new revelations in medicine, in technology, the same thing is true in the spiritual world. There are new revelations that we find in our time that Ibn Ezra belittled and made fun of, but to us can be so inspiring and so meaningful. And therefore, in the ikvas of the Mashiach, at the end of days, we have to make sure that this concept of gematria, right, is something that we give chashivas to, like the Ramban and so many others did. The Mishnah describes in Source 31, the Mishnah at the end of Sota, what's going to be at the end of days. What are some of the struggles of the Ikvas of the Mashiach? And one of those struggles is that Chachma Sofrim Tisrach, that the wisdom of Sofrim will rot, will be made fun of. Who are the Sofrim? The Gemara in Kedushin says that we used to call the early Tzadikim Sofrim. Why? Because they would count the letters of the Torah. They were Sofrim. They were Sofer each letter of the Torah. They'd add up the letters of the Torah. They knew exactly how many letters were in the Torah. They knew the value of the letters of the Torah. With the coming of Mashiach, the end of days, the Mishnah says in Sota, Chachma Sofrim Tisrach. People are going to make fun of counting letters. They're going to think it's child's play. There's going to be a spirit of academia in the world where we're so intellectually advanced that we don't have time for this type of silly stuff. But it's just the opposite. Rav Hillel Shklover, who was a Talmud, and a great nephew of the Vilna Gaon, writes in explaining this Mishnah at the end of Sota in Source 32, Chachmas Sofrim Tisrach, Zemechuvan L'Chachmas Ramazim V'Gematrius. You know what's going to be made fun of at the end of days? People are going to say, Gematrius is silly, it's a waste of time. V'heim bi'udo shalagra, v'kenoda savol rabos mezalzal bin yizeh. Even the Vilna Gaon himself had to deal with a lot of people who were critical of him because he was osek in Gematrius. Let's try to elevate and appreciate the chashivas of gematria. And the Mirtz Hashem will be zocha to the final source, which is the final Mishnah in Shas. How does Shas end? It ends with a gematria. The very last Mishnah in Shas, the last Mishnah in Maseches Uktzin, tells us in the final source, Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahanchil l'chol tzadik v'tzadik sholosh meyos v'asar olamos. Each righteous person should be zochet to 310 worlds. What's this concept of 310? It's based on a pasuk. Shenamar lahanchil ohavai yesh. Yesh is gematria, 310. Vot toseyim amalei. So Mirza Shem, the spirit of studying about gematria, of appreciating gematria, and trying to uncover these deeper areas of Torah, and being zochet to say that, to openly declare, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Yolam Ve'ed, we shall be zochet to be worthy of these 310 worlds, la'asid lavo. Thank you so much.